present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Andre Melly in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we welcome back for the first time in this particular series to take the fourth chair, the guest chair, Andre Melly, who will once again try and do battle with our three regular and tough competitors of the game. And we're going to begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams, but before we do, let me remind you that they have to speak, if they can, for just a minute on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. Kenneth, we're going to hear from you now. The subject is my strength. Will you talk about it? And if necessary, no, don't demonstrate it. We have 60 seconds and you start now.
It would be quite easy to summarize it. My strength is, as it were, one equal temper of heroic hearts made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to seek, to strive, to find, and not to yield, even in the early morning, to heat that boiled egg, whip off its head with a sharp whack of the knife, and then a curiosity.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Boiled eggs don't have heads. Hard enough to tell their tops from their bottoms.
It may be after you, mate, but I know it's said from its bottom.
I think, colloquially speaking, you can refer to the top or the bottom or the head or the tail.
Quite right.
So, Kenny.
Very good chairman. Lovely fellow.
Just you wait till I give a decision against him in a few moments. Kenneth, you keep the subject. You have 35 seconds left for my strength, starting now.
And in the army, they thought it wasn't really up to standard, so I was sent to a physical development centre at Hereford. The place was called Bradbury Lines, and I was forced every morning to go into a field, unroll a blanket, and do what was termed remedial exercises. And an officer said, twinkle your toes, make them go up and down rhythmically. This will improve the strength of your feet, and you will make an excellent infantryman. When my posting came, however, it was not to such a regiment. How? Oh, no. I was sent to the Royal Engineers.
So Kenneth Williams is starting in fine form this week, because he started with my strength, and in spite of one interruption, he finished with my strength. Peter Jones, we're now going to hear from you. The subject, cowboys. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Well, they are men who look after cattle in America. They wear chaps and buckles with huge belts attached, and they shoot guns, rifles, and they have a tremendous reputation for toughness, which is not altogether deserved, I suppose, but why...
And Andre Merritt,
Hesitation.
It was definitely hesitation.
Yes, it was a kerfuffle, which was interpreted as a hesitation. Mm. So, Andre, you have the subject of cowboys, and there are 42 seconds left, starting now.
At the last count, there were 19 cowboys in our house. I found 2 in the bath, 1 in my bed, and 3 down the lavatory. My son, aged 5, calls them all Jane. When I asked him, saying I thought it a bit strange, why weren't they Dan, Ben, or even Fred, he had no answer at all, and I'm extremely worried at the psychological implications of a small boy thinking that all cowboys are called by that particular name.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of name.
Yes, you mentioned the name before, the word name. And Peter got in there with 10 seconds to go. And cowboys is now back with you. Peter, starting now.
Across the states of Wyoming and North Dakota, these extraordinary figures ride about on rather small horses. They're not the huge...
So Peter Jones got points in that round, also one for speaking when the whistle went, and he has now, he's in second place with Kenneth, one behind Andre Merry, who's still in the lead. And Andre, your turn to begin. The subject, my last hat. Will you tell us something about your last hat in just a minute, starting now?
My last hat was a complete disaster, which is not surprising because the one before that was even worse. I just don't seem very good at buying them. This particular one had a high crown and a wide brim and was a little like those worn by a certain princess we all know extremely well. And it was for a wedding. No, I tell a lie.
Peter Jones, a child.
Well, I don't know any princess extremely well. A deviation.
I think she meant that we all know extremely well from her pictures in the newspapers. And, Andre, you have another point, and you keep the subject 37 seconds. My last hat starting now.
It was for a bar mitzvah. And the extraordinary thing was that all the other women were in...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. She said before it was for a wedding, and now she's changed it to bar mitzvah. And the two are not the same thing.
It was a dual event for economy's sake.
Called a double header.
Kenneth, you have a correct challenge and you have 33 seconds for my last hat starting now.
It was waterproof and I obtained it from a leading manufacturer of such articles and did not expect it to leak. However, this particular night, which was a booze up, I came out in the street, not a taxi to be found. There I was, soaked.
Soaked.
I meant to say soaked,
but
soaked.
Oh,
soaked, really.
Yes. And then you were stoned and soaked.
Ah, yes. Who challenged me?
Andre Melly.
Oh, well, she's right.
Yes, she was. I think you were giving a demonstration of how you were at the particular time. Andre, the subject's back with you. 14 and a half seconds, my last hat starting now.
When I finished with my last hat, I gave it to Kenneth Williams because his leaked and he got stoked in it. And I felt that really it wasn't fair. I mean, there he was in the road, in the rain. What could he do without something on top of his titfer? So if he doesn't blow
Peter
the...
Jones, Peter got in.
He couldn't be on top of his titfer. He wouldn't have another
Just a gallant.
Titfer is one hat.
No, if you rent someone a hat, they don't put it on top of their own hat. So I give you that one, Peter, and you have 1 second on my last hat starting now.
It was a boater.
Andre is still in the lead. Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams only 1 point behind. Clement Freud, your turn to begin, and the subject that Ian Messer's thought of is pognophobia. Pognophobia. So would you talk about it, if you can?
Can we talk about either?
Yes, as I've given you both. There are 60 seconds starting now.
Pognophobia is tremendously on the increase at the moment. And it is, of course, viciousness on the part of chess players. It's manifested by people throwing their knights at the other's queen, or even pushing their king viciously towards the bishop of their opponent. Police cells at the moment are chock-a-block with pognophobics.
Andre Merritt.
Repetition a moment. There were two. There was at the moment and a moment. Ben, just a moment.
Yes, there was another moment there. So would you like to tell us something about pognophobia in 37 seconds, starting now?
Pognophobia actually is the fear of not understanding what words mean, and it's something that I suffer from very much.
And Kemmerfreud's challenge?
Deviation.
It is perfectly correct. It is deviation. We won't tell them what it is, because we'll let them find out. And you have the subject back, Clement, with 29 seconds left, starting now.
If you're going to talk about actual definitions, pognophobia is a fear of beards, especially by people who have tender skins. But really, any hair can instill such phobia or fright into the recipient who rubs whatever section of her anatomy, or even his, against such a growth from wherever on the body it might come from, if you don't mind my
Peter
ending.
Peter Jones.
Hesitation.
Yes, I would agree. And Peter, you got in against the game with only 2 seconds to go this time. Is pognophobia with you starting now?
Artificial beards don't count, but the...
Well, Peter Jones is now in the lead alongside Andre Melly at the end of that round. And Kenneth Williams, we're back with you to start, and the subject, Edward the VII, starting now.
Well, undoubtedly, he was a source of great embarrassment to his mother, owing to the fact that he did have 2 appearances in court, and this did cause a great scandal.
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
You're afraid you did. Mm. And so there are 47 seconds for Clement to continue on Edward... Sorry, take up the subject of Edward VII, starting now.
Edward VII was, of course, every pognophobic's pin-up. his beard, which is lush.
Kenneth Williams is challenged.
Well, if pugophobia is what he's told us it is, a hatred of beards,
yes,
he wouldn't be anybody's pin-up because he had one.
Quite agree.
Thank you very much.
And there are never heard of masochism.
I don't wish to argue with you. I don't wish to argue with you. The chairman has made a decision, and I abide by the chair.
When it's in your favour.
He's good looking to boot.
Almost a boot. Kenneth, you have 41 and a half seconds. Edward VII starting now.
He was the son of Queen Victoria, and she said at the time, "Well, never let the memory of Albert be dimmed," and gave the name to several of her children. Not all of whom used it as the first, but she also said even the rooms should be endearing in terms of the
Clement Roy.
Hesitation.
Clement, there are 13 seconds left. Edward the Seventh starting now.
It was perhaps one of the most extraordinary things when Edward VII appeared in court, because he was accused of something very common, a crime which very few people have appeared in court of royal blood.
And Andre Mellon. Mm-hmm.
Repetition of two courts.
Yes, well, he did appear
well,
twice.
Well, I noticed that, but I was dying to find out what he was going to say.
He appeared twice in two courts.
Andre, with 1 second to go, you got in on Edward VII starting now.
He was on the telly for weeks.
Well, Andre, you were speaking again when the whistle went, and so you've increased your lead. Peter Jones, Clement Freud, and Kenneth Williams are almost equal in second place. Peter, the subject which occurs repeatedly in this program, the unexpected, that is the subject, and there's just a minute in which to talk about it starting now.
The unexpected is all right, except when it's guessed. People, in other words, who have been invited during some euphoric, expansive, ebullient mood, and then weeks later, in a depressed period, when one is rather sad and perhaps short of money, the cash flow is slowed down to a standstill, they appear on the doorstep and crave admission and very likely a meal to boot. Well, that is one of the unexpected things that I never really enjoy. Much as I enjoy having...
Andre Mellon challenge.
Repetition of enjoy.
He said enjoyed the first time and enjoy the second.
Oh, did I didn't hear that. Yes, I did.
The unexpected still with you, Peter, with 18 seconds. Sorry, 23 seconds, starting now.
The only thing to do is to smile and make a clean breast of it and say, come on, we're going out to dinner. And you then go to the nearest fish and chip shop or takeaway Indian place where you buy something or other.
Clement Freud.
It's deviation. It's against the race relations board. Edict. The taking away of Indians is...
No, you could hardly eat them for your dinner. Clement, we'll give you a bonus point for a good challenge, but leave the subject with Peter Jones with 9 seconds left, starting now.
You go inside and eat it, or else you go to the park and find a bench, and there you consume.
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation, he said. Go to a takeaway restaurant. Then he says, go inside and eat it. Now, this is a contradiction in terms. You either take it away in a takeaway restaurant,
that was in the
or you go
chip
in and
shop.
Order a meal. You can can't have both.
You
it's
can.
Ludicrous.
Oh, yes, you can. You can.
Why is it called takeaway? A great nit.
Because
you're going to go in and sit there.
You can buy it and throw it away if you want.
In this day and age, has got the time or the money to go and throw food away in the streets.
Kenneth, I disagree with your challenge. Talia expected one, by the way. And there are 4 seconds for you to continue, Peter, starting now.
Nowadays, there are more unexpected things happening than ever before in the whole...
So, Peter Jones, starting with the unexpected, finished with the unexpected, in spite of a number of challenges which gave him points, so he's now in the lead. And, Andre Mellon, we're back with you to begin. The subject, yellow lines... Would you tell us something about those sinister things in the road, or elsewhere for that matter, starting now?
I used to be terrified of yellow lines. I'd only got to get the first two wheels of our small family car onto them when one of those parking warden people turned up round the corner and plonked a thing on the front windscreen. Now, however, this year, we opened a health food shop and we changed our automobile for a van, which has the name of our business on the side, Bing Nuts. There I place this particular form of transport. Have I said that before? No.
Yes.
Yes.
Repetition.
Yes. Yellow lines is with you, Clement, with 29 seconds left starting now.
You can always tell an elderly Chinaman by the yellow lines. But also, on an egg, if you want to know where the head is, as opposed to the tail, there's no reason why you shouldn't get a pen and put yellow lines in the appropriate places. However, turning to Piccadilly and the traffic laws, there are more and increasingly numerous yellow lines on the pavement, by the gutter, underneath, on the road, close to where you were going to put
and,
your car.
And Peter Jones has challenged.
What does all that mean, underneath, on the road, and all that? Few little words.
Rubbish.
I thought you were all asleep.
Yeah. I'd like to find these men who paint the yellow lines underneath the road. They must have a very nice job. Peter, you've got a correct challenge with 3 seconds on yellow lines, starting now.
If you leave a car on the zigzag lines near the pedestrian crossing... Well, I would really like to have finished that because it's terribly important. The policemen are the only people who can do anything about it. The wardens are not empowered to fine you or do anything.
You become very serious all of a sudden. But you've increased your lead at the end of the round, and Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Clement, a balanced meal. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I suppose you could call the head of an egg and the heel of a cucumber a balanced meal. But I would personally use...
Andre Miller.
No hesitation there.
No, it wasn't.
It was a hesitation, quite definitely. Everyone knows it was a hesitation. He said this about the edge of the egg about 3 times, and he was getting very self-conscious about it. And Andre Miller was very observant. She could see that hesitation coming a mile off, and so could I. And he knows it was. That's why he's gone red. Look at him. He's green. Admit your guilt. Go on, admit it.
You were hesitating, weren't you?
You can't tell that? When a pognophobia phobic blushes beneath a beard.
Pognophobic.
Pognophobic. I'm going to stick to the other pronunciation. Clement, I disagree with them. I don't think you were hesitating on this occasion, and you have a balanced meal still, and you have 52 seconds starting now.
These days, a balanced meal doesn't really apply, because basically there are so many forms of vitamin tablets and other aids that any meal that you have whenever... is sufficiently balanced. The lights have gone on. Thank you very much. Soup, fish, meat, sweet was the original concept of a balanced meal. And you took vitamin tablets before and a little saccharine or artificial
Peter
sweetener.
Jones, a challenge.
He mentioned vitamin tablets before.
Yes. Yes, he did. And Peter, you've now got a balanced meal. And you have 27 seconds in which to talk about it starting now.
One of the difficulties of eating a balanced meal at a buffet supper is balancing it on the knee with a knife and fork in either hand, a glass perhaps on the other joint, and further than that, you have the neck.
Clement Freud.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, you shouldn't take a joint to a party. It would be
Oh, okay, dear.
I think by any score, he was deviating from a balanced meal. It sounded very, very strange to me. So, Clement, you have the subject back with 13 seconds starting now.
A, B, C, D, especially the third one of those, give a man all the nourishment that he needs, although the odd woman does like to have sago pudding.
Kenneth Williams is...
Deviation, A, B, C, and D, give a man all the nourishment he needs, means absolutely nothing. It's not even English, it's deviation.
It could mean anything, couldn't it?
So thank you very much.
You have a balanced meal, and 2 seconds to go starting now.
It's what you eat on the tightrope when you're in the circus.
So, Kenneth was speaking when the whistle went. He gained an extra point. He's still in fourth place. He's one behind Andre Melle. Clement Freund is 2 points ahead of Andre, and 2 points ahead of him is our leader still, Peter Jones. Kenneth, will you begin the next round? The subject, When I'm Cornered. Well, I could tell you what you do, but you tell us what you think happens in just a minute, starting now.
This will have to be hypothetical, but the simple reason is that I've never been in a boxing ring in my life, and therefore has not occurred, realistically speaking. Any answer I give will be purely conjectural. If I were cornered, I would lash out with everything in my power. Fists would be going as well as the elbows and the legs and, of course, the knees, which can administer certain grave physical disabilities upon any adversary with whom you might be matched in this existence. On the other hand, should you be cornered in a verbal sense, then the essence of defense is attack. Get out there with everything going, every gun fired.
Well, you see what happens when he really is cornered. Everything goes, because he was cornered, he said, with the subject to start with, and he kept going for 60 seconds without being interrupted. He gets a point for speaking when the whistle went, and a bonus point for achieving that distinction. And you're... Oh, you've now moved into third place. You're only one behind Clement Freud, three behind our leader, Peter Jones. Who begins the next round? Peter, beating the system. Would you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Now, that's something I always enjoy doing, because it means to me the game of roulette, something I never play in the British Isles, because it doesn't seem right or proper.
André Mellet.
There was a repetition of something.
Yes, there was. Beating the system, André, 49 seconds left, starting now.
Beating the system is something I'm not frightfully good at, because you have to be a teeny bit dishonest, and I'm afraid that's impossible for me. I just can't get through the customs with something I shouldn't have, or avoid a certain little bit of income tax. It is not in my nature. I know some people who do enjoy it very much. They no doubt could tell me how to do it, but if it isn't in your character and your makeup, if somehow or other you couldn't bring yourself to behave in such an underhand way, then you are not the right person to beat the system. Now, if somebody wanted to interrupt me,
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of somebody.
Yes, and she was quite grateful for the somebody who had interrupted her. Beating the system is with you, Clement, and there are 11 seconds left, starting now.
When the lavatory doesn't flush, I suppose beating the system is one of the ways of getting it to go. I like to use a stick, a pole axe, a hockey stick.
Kenneth Williams has challenged you, Clement.
Yes, because it's system with ending with an M, M for mother, not cistern, which ends with an N for naughty.
Yes, and I definitely said system as opposed to cistern.
Precisely, your diction was impeccable, if I may say so.
Thank you, Kenneth.
and educated fellow.
Your observations are impeccable, and your remarks are absolutely brilliant.
Thank you very much.
You have a point.
Thank you
have
very
beating
much.
The system, and you have... 4.5 seconds, starting now.
You do this by finding out what the owner's formula is and substituting the answer in a form of a key.
So, as we approach the end of the show, but with still another round to go, Peter Jones is still in the lead, but only one ahead of Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams, equal in second place. And André Mellet, your turn to begin. The subject, ties. Would you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I remember when I was about 7, my grandmother said to me that a very great friend of hers, who was 72, could not leave Liverpool because she had ties. And I thought that this was a kind of disease which was so terrible and disgusting that perhaps one couldn't explain exactly what it meant. It was later that I realized that people of a certain age and sometimes younger are tied to the town or part of the country where they were born. And you cannot uproot these people and send them somewhere else. This is
Clement
something
Freud
that the government...
Repetition of people.
Yes.
She was...
Well, people, I mean people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. People, it's a wonderful number, man.
Right.
I mean, you just...
You've just been listening to Top of the Pops, and that was Kenneth Williams' new number, which is now at number 147, and going down rapidly. But in just a minute, Clement Freud challenge. He had a correct challenge on people, which was a repetition, and he has now 27 seconds to talk about ties, starting now.
Ties are pieces of material which are tied round people's necks in one or other knot, according to the fashion of the day. I personally have over 100 in a cupboard, but only ever wear two, the first belonging to the Lord's Taverners, because it is faded and nobody can see what emblem is depicted on it, and the other is an old Etonian tie to which I'm not entitled. I purchased it in San Francisco from a man...
And why somebody here didn't challenge him at that moment when he said he only has two ties, he's not wearing either of the ones he described. It was one of the easiest challenges, but Clement Freud wasn't challenged, he kept going, and so he gained that extra point for speaking when the whistle went. I must now tell you what the final score is, as we have no more time, and André Mellet, returning after quite an absence, did extremely well, and she was fourth place, but she was only 2 points behind Kenneth Williams, and he was only 1 point behind this week's joint winners, Clement Freud and Peter Jones. We do hope that you have enjoyed listening to Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in at the same time next week when once again we all take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
Chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Lloyd.